5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning, and it's Malcolm Grahamwood here, Malky's blog, as I'm sure many of you know, and normally I'm on the other side being interviewed by the Moose, but today is another one of my CEO interviews, which I love doing, and particularly with my guest today, Jay Bhattacharjee, is CEO of Aminex PLC. I've known Jay for a long time. Most recently, before he joined Aminex, we worked together at Longreach when I was advising that, and that was Morocco. Yeah. Now he's the CEO at Aminex, and I'm very excited and very pleased that we're able to get Jay in today. So welcome, Jay.
And thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
It's a pleasure and lovely to see you. And what I always do to start things off, because there'll be obviously a lot of viewers who know Aminex very well, particularly with a lot of things going on the last few months. But I'd love to hear a bit of an overview, just to sort of give us, to begin with, a sort of introduction to Aminex, and to, for those people who've not come across it before,
sure.
a basic one. Well, then we'll go through in more detail during the interview. But just give us a rundown of what Aminex is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks a lot for your time today, Malcolm. I really appreciate it, and it is good to see you again. The company has been a company that's been in existence since 1991 as a listed vehicle. It's an Irish and London-listed company. The company has had assets in a variety of regions and a variety of plays, but as we are now looking in the company, we are very much an African-focused business. We've got a nice balance in our portfolio now of production, development, and also some real high-impact exploration as well, and we want to maintain that balance as we go forward. We are looking to become a very much a traditional E&P vehicle,
yeah.
Making sure we do have that P as well with that. But the company's been around for a while, and it's going to be around for a lot longer. So.
Excellent. Well, that sounds good. And so if it's been around for a long time, you're new and sort of a bit of new management around. Why don't you talk us through the
sure.
new management and the team?
Yeah, absolutely. We're about a year into our management time in the company. And really the company to us, myself and Phil, who came in through the acquisition of Canyon last year from Aminex. Myself and Phil are technical guys by background. We want to make sure we drive the business technically going forward. And we've been doing that by not only strengthening our technical team, but also by making sure the deals and the assets that we're looking to develop predominantly in Tanzania are very much the core of why the company, the core of what the company is doing going forward. So. We've got a lot of technical in depth and operational abilities that we're expanding on in the company right now.
That sounds great. Now, a good opportunity to look at the assets in some detail. Why don't you run us through the Kiliwani asset, and then within that, the deal you've just done recently?
Absolutely. Yeah. The Kiliwani asset, as I mentioned, we do have a good balance. The Kiliwani asset itself is our near-term producing asset. We are still on schedule to be producing early
excuse me.
No problems. We're still on schedule to be producing early next year. And that'll be a real transformational moment for the company. It'll represent first revenues out of Tanzania. And that's going to be a big plus for the company going forward. In terms of the deal that we've just done with Solo, it really is an opportunity for us to expand on an existing relationship that we have. It also it's one of those deals where we feel it's been beneficial for both companies. One, you know, we do have some corporate debt which we need to take care of. And we were able to do this deal with Solo to substantially reduce down the debt once we do close this deal off. But it also expands on our partnership down in Rovuma as well, and we can discuss Rovuma in a second here. But
yeah, so the good news is that you'll be first production in the first half of next year, which is going to be in cash flow. We'll come back to funding and money a bit later on. The deal with Solo is selling 13% of the asset.
Correct.
And it's in two halves,
Absolutely.
So that'll be done straight. We've done half of it straight away.
Absolutely.
And then the other half in a little while?
Yeah, absolutely. So the deal is done in two halves. And mostly the 13% is a manageable size for us. It's not that we're not having to give away the farm for it. And it's a manageable size also for Solo as well to make that acquisition. And again, it's a big step for us. Because you know, we'll be getting cash out of that asset, and then it's also a big plus for Solo as well.
And it's great to be able to be in a situation where, with cash coming in next year, and you sold off part of the asset, you'll be in a strong position.
Sure.
Tell us a bit about the Rovuma Basin and where that's.
Sure. You know, I think one of the things with the Rovuma Basin is, you know, as every good CEO would say, that it's a world class basin, but we really believe it. We're not the only ones who've declared Rovuma a world opportunity. You know, all the discoveries and the size of discoveries are. We've recently had a resource upgrade out in Rovuma. And that's off the back of some very good technical work we've done down there. We've shot some new seismic. We've got a new interpretation out there. And what we are seeing out there is what we were hoping for in terms of resource potential. This is a basin that is enormous in size, both aerially but also resource-wide, and it's going to provide the company with a lot of running room going forward for many years. So we'll be able to continuously move that the bit forward there.
So in the resource upgrade, you've got two and a half TCF of gas. That's not a CPR. So tell us, where are you going to be? I mean, the market loves to have a CPR and reserves and all sorts of things. So where are we on that front?
Sure, you bet. The CPR is a question that a lot of people ask. ask me, when are we going to get it? And we are in the process of working on the CPR, but the CPR shouldn't necessarily be only for Rovuma.
Yep.
We'd also be looking at getting reserves up in Kilawani.
Oh, good.
And so when we do book reserves up in Kilawani, we'll also book our resources down in Rovuma.
Right.
And you know, as we said a while ago, this technical work takes a bit of time. You know, I do get people wonder what's taking so long, but you know, the we want to make sure we do things correctly.
Yep.
We want to make sure we do things that are in a defendable manner, and there that just unfortunately takes time, and you know, we're working towards it.
That's good. Yeah. So it's not too long to wait.
It's not too long, no.
I mean, the good news is that you're working on the data, you've got everything coming together, and the CPR, and it's going to look good. apart from Tanzania, of course, you've got acreage in Egypt.
Correct.
What's the interest in Egypt? Tell us a bit about that. And
sure.
It's a core, I presume, in Egypt, or possibly core.
It's Egypt's interesting. We've got a 10% carried interest through to production.
Right.
So technically, that's our interest out in Egypt. We are looking for opportunities for production and development, and growth opportunities as we go forward. Egypt obviously fits that production development opportunity, but to say that we're, you know, to say that we're 100% focused on Egypt or anything, we're not. We're actually mostly focused on that production development opportunity because, again, that Rovuma Basin for us provides incredible upside and opportunities. So we want to focus on more of that production development.
So the strategy going forward is definitely Tanzania, the Rovuma Basin.
Absolutely.
Other projects apart from that, probably in country.
We're open for business. We want to make sure that everybody understands that Tanzania is our core focus area.
Yep.
And that is a partnership and a long-term relationship we have with the country. We were really one of the first ones in the in there, and you know, the business has spent a lot of capital there.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that now, as that capital has been spent, we're right at that cusp because of this new pipeline, that we can get that production going. But in terms of longer-term growth opportunities, we are, again, going to be looking for that production development with exploration.
Okay. So. Right. That takes me neatly on to the next bit, and probably the question that I get asked, I'm sure you do as well, is the gas sales agreement.
Sure.
now, for those of the people who don't know this, some of the other companies in the area have already signed up for GSAs, and so I get asked a number of times, when are you going to do the same thing? So why don't we start the ball rolling on that by you giving us a bit of detail about where you are down the road on the GSA.
Okay. I think the first thing is that might be the most frequent shareholder question that we have. So if I had a dollar for every time that was asked, the simple answer for that is the gas sales agreement is in the process of being vetted. The other parties that you mentioned, it's Merlin, Prom, Wentworth, they have signed it. They were quite a bit further. They had started their process quite a bit further than we had. We've more or less caught up. When is that going to be signed? It's difficult to say, but it's certainly going to be signed pre-production, and we're still on schedule to produce early next year. So I don't want to say, you know, when it's not in our hands fully, it's with the lawyers in Tanzania. Yep. It's difficult to say, but the key thing, though, is it will get signed, and it will get signed before production. But the most important thing is that the gas sales agreement is critical for the country.
Yeah.
You know, the country can't make mistakes on this. You can't. Yeah. It's not an opportunity for them to rush through something and then come back in, you know, 2 years, 3 years and say, oops, sorry, we made a mistake. So it will get done. It will get done before production.
Yep. Well, that gives us a fairly tight window, which is good. And I'll come back to that when I wrap up. But you've said that Tanzania is your main place of business. And a lot of people say, you know, what's it like working or operating in the area as a there are problems on payments and delays and bureaucracy and so on. And of course, after that, a quick word about the pipeline, which people talk
absolutely
about.
Tanzania is actually a great place to work. It's a wonderful country. It's resource rich, and that's very good too. And in terms of bureaucracies and payments and things, delays, without worrying too much about what other businesses have had problems with their payments in the past, our gas sales agreement and also the other two operators' gas sales agreements that will be signed or have been signed, will have payment protection methods involved in them.
Good, yeah.
And so we negotiated that one of the first things that we negotiated in there to make sure that we have payment protections in there. The country as a whole, in terms of bureaucracy and ease, the TPDC, who is one of our partners, are very open, very supportive, and they've been very cooperative. It just takes time.
And that's perfectly understandable. Yep. I said I'd come back and talk about funding briefly. I mean, you raised $15 million in January of this year.
Sure.
Which is good news. And now, with the very recently announced deal, you'll have hopefully $7 million. Where does that put you in terms of being funded? And obviously, we know that first half of next year you'll be getting cash flow.
Correct.
So where will that leave you funding-wise?
Well, the deal itself allows us a bit more flexibility in terms of debt repayments, in terms of operational ability to expand. And then, in addition, as we get the cash coming in from Kilawani, that's also a big plus. But we shouldn't also forget that the payment terms that we had with our U.S. disposition start also next year.
Yeah.
So we'll get that money coming in as well.
Yeah, that's good news.
So we'll really be one of the rare. We'll be really one of the rare companies that has cash flow coming in of our size anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, that's good news. We're beginning to run out of time, but I wanted to say two quick things. First of all the other disposals are on track.
The U.S. disposition's done. Moldova will be disposed of in a short
excellent.
Order. And we'll be clean Africa focused.
Good. I always ask about shareholders.
Yeah.
So are they retail? Are they institutional? Are they other? Are they management? Tell me about the skin in the game for the guys.
Sure. We believe quite heavily in skin in the game. Between the board itself and one institution, which is Magetti, which is named, we're up in that kind of 16% range, 15-16%, and in particular with the board, where the board and management have roughly 12.5% of the company. So we certainly are
vested. Yeah, well, that's always ticks one of my really important boxes.
Yeah.
We're coming towards the end of what has been a fascinating interview, Jay.
Thank you.
Maybe you could just do, again, what I'd like to do is to say, give me a minute or so, just to give you a vision for Aminex, sort of timelines and so on, and where you want to be. I'd love to be able to bring you back in 6 or 12 months' time for another interview. And by then, what do you think might have happened to Aminex and Jay?
Well, I think, the company itself is now becoming on solid footing. In terms of growth opportunities, in terms of expansion, this Tanzanian pipeline has really transformed our asset base in that we'll be able to produce and develop our gas.
Yep.
And the vision for the company to go forward is to expand off of the back of that. We want to become a well-balanced production development story, and we have that exploration running room as well.
Well, that sounds really good. As we come towards the end, it's been great to see you again.
Wonderful to see you again.
And nice to see that Aminex is going so well. I think what I like about it most of all is the sort of all those lovely letters. I like CPR, I like GSA, and I like time frames and windows, because we know that first half of 2015 is going to be a time when the gas starts to flow and you get cash flow. We've got a window for that. So for shareholders and for management, it's going to be an exciting few months.
Absolutely.
I can see we're almost in November, so the next 7 or 8 months, it's going to be an exciting time.
Absolutely.
For Aminex. And so, again, thank you very much for coming in for the interview with TIP TV. And after the show, I mean, this is me being able to wrap up the finance show into the Moose. We'll be going over to the sport with Nigel Seeley.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.